Plenty of news going in towards Hawkesbury standalone tomorrow. Just before we focus in on that, the trials at Warwick Farm are a very impressive horse. Has trialled in the last 20 minutes or so, called Delectation.
150 to go, and it's Slidini just in front of Benetti. Here's Delectation starting to wind up out wider on the track. He moved up to Express Point and won. Delectation has beaten, I think Express Point might have just run second, from Federal in the middle third, and Slidini close up fourth, and then followed by the next one in Benetti, Final Decision, Hickson Road, and Stylish Lad.
Yeah, Delectation travel wide under no pressure at all by Jason Collard, won the trial, ran the 796 metres in 49.5, won it by a long head, but I stress under no pressure. It's going to be interesting to see what Chris Wather does with Delectation. Brisbane obviously in mind, but what race they'll run in next. And just on the Chris Wather stable, beaten up barrier trial out there this morning at Warwick Farm. I presume it's not running tomorrow in the Hawkesbury Gold Cup, given its draw, but beaten up ran fifth in a trial at Warwick Farm this morning. Now, Hawkesbury, Jeff Haynes, track managers online. Morning to you, Jeff.
Morning, Andrew.
Just an ideal week in preparation for your $1 million Saturday.
Yeah, it's been pretty good. We had a bit of rain on Saturday night, which is about 7.5 mil, which is more rain than we've had for the last 2 months. But this came at the right time for us, and we had been doing a little bit of watering before that. So with a couple of warm days, she's come up really nice. A good four. Penetrometer 4.91, which is just in a good four range.
Okay, so good four, just there at 4.91. And you really aim towards this day. I know it's a big send-off for Brian Fletcher, but more than $1 million in prize money. And there's so many activities on track.
Yeah, we've got a lot on today. Tomorrow. We've got we've got a cash booth, which is something interesting to have a look at. They pick out five or six people in the crowd and put them in a booth full of cash, and they try and grab as much as they can with the wind blowing around. So that'll be something different. But, yeah, we've got plenty of activities. Got bands on the lawn all day. No, it's going to be a great day.
Yeah,
the weather to stay like today.
Yeah, let's hope so. The forecast is good, isn't it?
Forecast is for maybe some showers overnight.
Right.
We're not really sure how much, and hopefully we just get a couple of mil and it's gone by first thing tomorrow morning and get a fine day. But we just have to wait and see what the night brings, mate.
Yeah, we'll monitor that. And obviously you'll be on air first thing with us tomorrow morning at 6:30. Good on you, Jeff. We'll chat to you then.
Thanks, Andrew.
Good four at Hawkesbury. Penetrometer 4.91 for the program. Well, one local trainer out there tomorrow will be hoping for success with his horse, Sons of John. He's also got Calleyville Flyer and Reby the Red. He might have a busy day tomorrow. Jason Attard. Morning to you, Jace.
Hi, Ben. How are you going?
I'm good. Good to talk to you. We've been talking on text for a good few weeks, counting down the days with Sons of John, and you're virtually there tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. There's been a few little setbacks with him. Obviously, not ideal going straight to a strong mile like that first up, but he's come through well. He's trialled amazing last trial. We give him a pipe opener, obviously, and he comes through that really well. So we just can't see a reason not to give it a go, and hoping he runs well.
Just remind our listeners, going back to the spring when he last raced, he got galloped on pretty severely there.
Yeah, in his last race in the Emirates, he actually got interfered with in the Schweppes Crystal Mile, which stopped him for a place or two, not too significant. And that was only his lead-up run for the Emirates, and got into the Emirates. And, same thing there, got a bit of interference there and stripped the back of his hocks just a little bit, which we put him out in the paddock anyhow because he had such a big campaign last prep. And it just took him a little longer to get back than we intended. But lucky to have patient owners and just doing the right thing by the horse and get the horse back in one piece and get him right before we brought him back. So, pretty happy with the horse and fingers crossed.
Now, obviously, the query to many will be first up at a mile. Has it been two or three trials, Jace?
He's had three. He had three, so initially, obviously, the plan was to have two and then go to a 1,400. There was a benchmark 100, 1,400 metres at Randwick a few weeks back, which was obviously the plan to go to that. But his second trial was quite ordinary. I think he was still quite fat inside and just took him a bit longer to come up. So I couldn't justify just sending him around when he wasn't right. So we decided to give him the good, hard 1,200-metre trial instead of that run. And obviously he came good and he trialled well. So we just took that as his first race and hope it done the job.
Well, certainly it was a really strong trial the other day because you're out there to do something, obviously to prepare him. How's your confidence?
Medium. Obviously, same query as everyone else, going over the hard mile first up. But look, the horse is well in himself and racing well. So he's just a trier, and I know he'll do his best.
Well, last year you had those spring races and you were rock hard fit, or autumn races, I should say, and you were rock hard fit when he won this race last year. So it's a totally different story. But the one thing, as you've said, he normally puts everything into his race.
Yeah, definitely. Jock's real confident. Like I said, the horse is going well. So, fingers crossed. Unlike Jeff Haynes, I was hoping it would pour down with rain overnight for Reby the Red. It'd mean quite a lot for that horse to win for us tomorrow for the Kellys. They're going through quite some testing times at the moment. And I regard Sid as not only one of my first owners, but a really good mate. And it would really lift the spirits up to get a winner for the Kelly team.
Well, the horse is pretty close. I mean, if you get, you know, a little bit of rain tonight, bit of sting out of the track, we know how good he is on that, but he's been racing well.
Yeah, he's been racing really well. He's quite consistent. Last race over the 2000 was the prelude, and that was, you know, obviously the test to see if he runs the 2000, which me and Jeff were quite confident he would do it on his ear, and he did. It was quite a strong run he had that day. So, not much weight in his back and an extra 100 metres. We're hoping he can do the job.
Yeah, let's hope for the Kelly's sake with Reby the Red. And Kellyville Flyer, well, you're an emergency in the Gold Cup and you're in the last. Have you got a preference? Would you run in the Cup if you got there?
I wish I had a bit better barrier in the race.
Yeah. One's drawn. In the Cup, you've drawn 15, and in the last, you've drawn 18.
18, yeah, exactly. We'll probably go the last race. I'll have a final chat with the owners tonight and make a final decision. But it's obviously more her class and probably give her the run just to sort of set her up, hopefully, for the Scone Cup in a couple of weeks' time. So I'm probably looking at the Scone Cup to be her
big age.
Grand finale.
Yeah. Mate, good luck with all of them. Sons of John's been a good battle. You're on the verge, mate. I hope he runs well and you can get him into some good races following up, whether it's Scone or whether it's Brisbane or whatever. But I hope he does really well for you tomorrow.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Thank you.
Good on you. Thanks a lot, Jace. Jason Addard, local trainer, won the Cup last year with this horse. He's first up tomorrow, though. That's the big test at 1,600 metres. David Pfeiffer's got plenty of chances today and also tomorrow at Hawkesbury. He's online out at the Warwick Farm Trials. Morning to you, Dave.
Morning, Andrew.
Looking forward to these two tomorrow. I think they're both in their races. How do you see Cradle Me? I guess the only nervous thing here is that draw.
Yeah, the barrier just makes that a bit tricky. Means you're pretty much going to make a decision whether you're going to go forward or back. You try and ride for luck, and it's when you sort of get stuck out in the limb. But look, her best race have come from when she's been back in the field, so you know, I expect she'll be back. And as long as they can run good tempo up front, it's going to give her every chance.
Good size of a field, so hopefully that puts tempo into it. The other day, she just was screaming out for a bit of room, wasn't she?
Yeah, she's last couple of runs, she's been... on the back of a hard luck story, and she's been running solid sectionals, getting home, but whether it's tempo related or getting a run, she's had a lot of luck, but for an old man, she definitely is going very good.
So I guess also you've got five races before we get there, so you'll know if there's a pattern there also tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get a good guide of how the track's playing and where we need to be, and to try and give us every chance on we want to change our instructions leading into the race.
The main thing is, listening to you, mate, she's doing pretty well within the stable work.
Yeah, pretty happy with her. You know, work on Tuesday, the calls probably suggest that she's still going good. She wants to be here, and it's pretty important for an old man.
The other one in the Hawkesbury Guineas, Den Magic, it was also looking for a bit of room the other day.
Yeah, my carnival's been a bit of a hard luck story. Called hands for the truth. but Den Magic's been putting in a couple of very solid runs.
Yeah.
You know, she's also been on the back of tempo related or just not quite getting the luck in the straight to give her a chance. But yeah, she's training on well. She looks great herself. And you know, she's drawn a barrier to give herself every chance this Saturday. So, you know, hopefully things are looking well for her. You know, she's an exciting filly, can rattle off a good sectional. So, you know, she's got a promising future, hopefully.
Do you think you can ride her closer? Have you been forced to go back in recent runs because of the draws?
Yeah, we've been forced to go back and put her in positions that we weren't really comfortable in. But, you know, this weekend with that inside draw, you know, I think we can be handy and comfortable where we need to be.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good reports on those two tomorrow. You got them at Musselbrook and Goulburn today. Big Albert at Goulburn. How do you see that in race five?
Big Albert's a lovely, big, strong animal. He's had quite a few trials. He's just been a bit of a slow maturing type. You know, his trials have been good, but I know he's still learning, and I think it's the time for him to go to the races and learn what it's all about. You know, hopefully when he gets one put around his bum at the top of the straight, he'll switch on and get attack into the line. And, you know, he's well enough bred to suggest he can win races. He's got a lovely, big, strong horse. So, you know, I don't know if today will be his day, but, you know, I think whatever he'll do, he'll keep improving from.
And you got the two at Musselbrook. Walsh, he comes back after a run sort of back in late December?
Yeah, his trials last prep leading to that run were good. He didn't get a lot of luck in that first run, but his recent trial a couple of weeks ago I thought was quite nice without being asked to do too much. So I think going up to Musselbrook, he's going to get his chance. You know, there's a couple in the race that I think he's got probably a bit of experience on him or have trialled well.
Yep.
But I do give him a solid chance.
And what about the other one, Silent Missile?
Silent Missile's been a bit of a long-term project. He's been a bit of a slow learner and he's got his few little quirks. But, I've been happy enough with him. He's a nice big horse. He's got a good pedigree behind him. You know, he's got a good barrier. So, and I think it's important to get a secure, a well-experienced jockey in those parts. And, you know, he's got the barrier to give himself a chance. You know, his first run was promising. His next run, I think he's just showed he's had enough. But, I'd be interested to see what he can do today. You know, same again, I think whatever he can do, he'll keep improving from.
You get Greg Ryan, which you talk about as a good jockey in that area on Silent Missile. Good luck today with those and tomorrow in the big ones, the Godolphin Crown and the Hawkesbury Guineas. Dave, thanks for talking to us.
No worries. Thanks very much.
David Pfeiffer from out of the trials at Warwick Farm. Thomas Huey tomorrow's got some key rides. Louboutin in the third, won pretty good last time at Newcastle where Thomas Rody rates it an excellent chance tomorrow. Louboutin, race 3, number 8. And wouldn't it be nice as one that would like that rain, just like Jason Addard with Ruby the Red? If the rain does arrive, it would certainly enhance the chances of wouldn't it be nice. Thomas Huey gets back aboard tomorrow in the fourth race at Hawkesbury. Tony Gollan, fair dinkum, what a week he's had. Tony, you can get into the news for your horses, mate, not for float accidents.
Yeah, no, it certainly wasn't the ideal way to get some coverage last weekend, that's for sure.
I'm not laughing, you know what I mean, but the horses, two of them have gone out. What about the latter two?
Yeah, the latter two at this stage are going to leave today, so we're just getting all clear off the vet later this morning, and then they'll head to their place of rest now too as well. They'll definitely have 6 week spells at least, and then they'll be back on deck as well. So we've really come out of it very, very lucky at this stage. There's no sign of infection to any of the wounds, and everything's healing as it should be.
That's Casual Choice and
Jetsonic.
And Jetsonic, okay. They were the two where they were a bit scratchy, weren't they?
Yeah, they were the two worst off. Jetsonic had a couple of big, decent lacerations to him that required stitching and stapling. One to the shoulder, which was mainly a flesh wound, and one to the inside of his foreleg, which was quite deep. The bone was exposed there, but he's been sound the whole time, and he has healed up. It's stitched up really nicely, so stitches come out of him in about 3 or 4 days' time. Casual Choice was probably the sorest of them. He had the most blood, and he stripped a bit of hoof and had a puncture wound to a hind leg, so... He was a little bit sore, but the swelling's coming out of his legs really, really well. He'd been x-rayed. There's no issues there. So just a bit of time for recovery now, then back on deck.
Understand. They're hardy animals. I mean, they would have been placed in another float after the original accident. They would have been on another float taken to the Sunshine Coast vet. I mean, they're hardy things, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, you know. But they're very sensible creatures. Anyone who deals with them day in, day out understands that about them. their survival instincts to relax themselves once they were in a tough situation was basically what got all four horses through. They never thrashed around. They never put themselves in any worse predicament than they were already in. And Casual Choice was a little bit reluctant to go on the second float. He was the most banged up of the four, but nothing too bad. He was one little just a little push and on he went. And the others, they bounded on, and I think they were happy to get out of there.
Mate, I know that we haven't rung to do this, but I'll ask one more on it. How in the hell did the horses? Everyone on there, the driver, the handlers of the horses, and the horses would have been thrown around as they were going downwards on the embankment. But how in the heck did the four horses right themselves?
Oh, I've got no idea. And to look inside the truck, I was there quite quick after the accident occurred, and I was very reluctant to want to peer through the which were the rooftop holes to have a look inside. I was very reluctant in case they were, there was flesh everywhere and horses all over the place. But one of the boys said, "You can have a look, Tony. Don't be so squirmish because they're standing on all fours." And I said, "They couldn't be." And he said, "They are." So then I had to peer in, and they were. They had a partition between them and on all fours. I got no idea how they configured the inside of the truck to get it that way and be standing there seamlessly, waiting to be let out.
Yeah. Remarkable. Anyway, thankfully the driver obviously shocked, and your staff were okay.
Yeah, they were. One of the boys had a bit of a pull muscle to his neck. Yeah. He's getting around like Kramer for a few days, but he's a lot better now. His neck's moving in that now. So they're all a bit banged up. They're a bit edgy. Some of them getting on the truck on Wednesday to go to the Gold Coast, but they got there okay.
All right, well, let's talk about tomorrow, because you got these two in the Victory Stakes. I mean, most discussion from our point of view, because Fell Swoop's been running in Sydney, but didn't cost a lot. Fell Swoop will go forward, but didn't cost a lot's another one that could go forward and probably dictate?
Oh, look, he's a fast horse. I don't think anything here would lead him or be interested in leading him. He's a very fast running horse, and that's what he'll go out to do tomorrow. Sure, I mean, he lacks the quality of a horse like Fell Swoop. There's no doubt he's got an impressive record, and he's coming through the right form lines to win a race like this. Horses that have won this race over the previous years, tend to have a record similar to what Fell Swoop's got. They've raced at that highest level and seemingly come back to this race. But it is a hard race to win. It can cause a boil over, and if there's any chinks in any of them, well, didn't cost a lot. He's a fit horse. He's going to be out there bowling along. He's the one they got to catch.
Yeah, for sure. What about the other one, Fondalina?
Yeah, well, you just think 1,200, particularly chasing a horse like, didn't cost a lot around. Dooman is going to be a little bit trickier for him. His first up run last prep, first time we had him, I thought was good. He was unlucky at Randwick, running fifth. He's come back well. He seems just appreciate getting out to the 1,300 as he's gotten an older horse. That's the only thing with him. But he's a nice old horse, and he's never far away in this grade.
The two-year-old that's lining up tomorrow, I've tried to say it, now I'm hesitating. What is it in Mercutus?
Tiatrolani.
Okay, I'll go with you.
His mother was called Tiatro.
Okay.
And they've just added a Lani on the end of it, so that's where she gets her name from.
Righto. Whatever you call it, was very impressive at Ipswich to win by 7.5. Were you surprised that day?
I'm probably always surprised by the margin, not surprised by the win. She was quite well found in the market, and she'd obviously jumped out well and done all the things that you ask of them going to the races. Obviously, race day is a different kettle of fish, but the margin and the time was, compared to the other race on the day, was probably surprising. But she's a real bomb-proof filly, just goes about her business. She's a real racehorse, this. Lovely horse out of a great family, and just has definitely come on and improved since Ipswich. There's no doubt about that. She's a better horse going to the races tomorrow than what she was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that is scary. I mean, I know it's into a city race, but if he can be half as good, she's going to be there somewhere.
Yeah, no, she's definitely better. I mean, she's come on in the coat, her muscle tone's better, everything about her's better. She's a real no-fuss horse. She has been. We've had her in for two or three preparations or more and out of the stables, and she's always shown us a good bit. We just give her that little bit of time to mature. She's by Captain Sonador, out of a family that just tend to get better as they go on as well. But she's not overly big, but she's strong, and she really is a foolproof filly to have in the stable.
And the other one in that fourth tomorrow is a debuter, All Pluck, who we haven't seen at the trials, but I presume some jump outs?
Yeah, he's had a couple of jump outs and whatnot. He's been pretty impressive with what he's done. He's a nice horse. Not many of these Plucks have got to the races yet. They're probably going to be better later in the season, which is now, and into their three-year-old year. He's another one. He's got a good pedigree. He's a lovely horse. I'm sure he'll improve in time and as distances get out.
Yep.
But he's got enough natural speed to make use of his good gait. Jimmy Byrne's got a high regard on him. He's ridden him in his jump outs. And yeah, he's an impressive horse. And look, he's here tomorrow to see where they line up for this exciting carnival ahead of us.
Now, I won't go through all of the others, but is there one of the others that our listeners can jot down for tomorrow?
I think you've nailed the two races, you know, yep, probably with our strongest representation. But we've got a bunch of horses there that are racing well. I mean, you never Dean on Allen, Heart of Warriors, and them sort of horses. They're never too far away. But I'm personally looking forward to seeing Secret Saga resume. She stood on the luckiest stone of her life last Saturday morning, not getting on the truck to go to the Sunshine Coast. That's why she was scratched. She's had a terrific week, and she's a really above-average filly that can run well in open grade tomorrow.
That's race two, number nine. Tony, thanks for your time. Good luck tomorrow with all of them.
Thanks, Andrew. Cheers,
thanks
mate.
A lot, mate. Tony Gollan there. Remarkable story on those horses, how they righted themselves. Brian Guy's online from the Gold Coast. Brian, good morning.
How are you, Andrew?
I'm well. You're enjoying being back at home, aren't you? I'm saying that. You moved out. Pardon me. You moved out to train for a body, but now you're back training for your own clients, and the stable's gone with good success since.
Yeah, we've had a terrific run since I come back into the case, Andrew. I come back on about the 19th of February, and up to date, I think we've had about 15 winners.
Yeah, no, that's a good strike rate. I don't mind this horse. I spoke to you a couple of Sunday mornings ago about Eagle Way, who lines up in the Gunsing Classic tomorrow, race 7. And this horse is owned by Hong Kong trainer John Moore.
Yes, yeah, John owns him. He had him in Sydney, and he just wasn't... racing probably to the best of his ability. And he just said to rung me up and asked, would I give him a try up here for him? And I said, yeah, not a problem, you know. And I think he just likes the sunshine.
Yes, like most of us, I think, like most of us. Gee, the performances of late, I mean, I know tomorrow, two runs ago you had at 1,800.
Yes, he won an 1,800 open three-year-old. It was a sad day class too because they moved the meet from Doom and to the Sunshine Coast.
Yep.
And he sat three deep for the 1,800 and really found the line well and blew him away, you know. So I thought, you know, that was the time that we said, well, maybe the Queensland Derby could be his aim. I spoke to John. John said, well, I can bring him to Hong Kong. And I just said to him, I said, well...
Hang on. I don't want to give him up too quick.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I said... And I said to him, oh, you know, he might be a Queensland Derby horse. And to John's credit, he turned around and he said, well, I can't train a winner in Australia. Maybe I can own one. Yeah. You better have a go at it. So that's how he's still here.
So how do you see tomorrow then at the mile?
I think he'll run a great race. He's drawn very well in six.
Yeah.
He has won at Doomben before, and his win at Doomben that day was tremendous. Like he was last on the corner and come right round him. And he only just won, but it was the way that he finished off.
Yep.
So from six alley, he'll probably be, you know, midfield or something like that. And, I think he'll run a very, very good race tonight.
All right, that's Eagle Way in race seven. You've got Charlie Cass in the last race, which gets a start. There's no emergency, so you're in the field here. Can this horse sort of return or show some form?
He's a funny horse, Charlie. I'll have to ask him in the morning or a bit close to the race.
And he's another one for John Moore, isn't he?
Yeah, John owns him as well, yes. Mm-hmm. He went to Hong Kong and didn't settle in over there at all. And he sent him back here, and he sent him back to me here at the coast. His first up run was very good. His second up run, he ran second. And then he just faded off a little bit. Mm-hmm. We decided to give him a break because he'd been in work a long time with the trip over to Hong Kong and back again. And his first up run, it was 1,000 metres. He had 1,100, and he had 59 kilos, and he got caught three deep, four deep the whole way, and he just knocked up a bit. But I think the race tomorrow will suit him down to the ground. If he jumps cleanly, which he did at the case, we've done, you know, we always do a little bit of work on him in the barriers because he can be a bit funny in them.
Yep.
He's drawn four alley. If he can jump, just be somewhere there often without using much up early, I expect him to go all right because... He's a horse that he can work on the track, Andrew. He's a horse that has got a lot of ability.
Well, let's hope he can do it tomorrow. Maybe a J-Moore double ahead of a big day for him in Hong Kong on Sunday. Hey, Brian, thanks for joining us. We'll talk a bit longer about your last sort of 6 or so months. We might do that next week during the show, but thanks for your time this morning.
No problems at all, Andrew, anytime.
Good on you, Brian. Brian Guy from the Gold Coast. Eagle Way lines up in the Gunsink Classic tomorrow. Fellswoop has arrived at Moolumbah where they're staying for the carnival. Matty Dale told me off-air earlier this morning the travel app has went without hitch. Went for a light trot in canter this morning at Matty Dunn's property, and the horse is beautifully relaxed and they can't wait for the big race tomorrow. And another one to watch out for Brisbane tomorrow is Trebia, lining up in the Class 6 plate, the last race for Michael Lakey. He's won half a dozen or so on the trot. He won at Toowoomba on Wheatwood Day, winning the last, sitting just on the pace and really accelerating in the straight. It's in another Class 6 tomorrow. Needs a little bit of luck from Barrier 10, but it's in dominant form, Trebia. Now, just before we take a break, I wanted to mention this. The big Group 1 comes up, the Robert Sangster in Adelaide on May 7. Now, an order of entry I grabbed a hold of yesterday. Petite Falou, who would be a favourite, is certainly no certainty of getting a start. They'll line up 20, and most of the horses above her are going to be running. Girl Guide and Secret Agenda won't be. Tycoon Tara is a question mark. Whether it lines up in the Wongoom, we'll wait and see. But all the rest above Petite Falou will be running. So at this stage, Petite Falou needs 3 to drop out to absolutely making a certainty. So if you're looking at Sangster Markets and you're looking at Petite Falou, I'd be holding on until next week. Damien Brown is the airport about to venture to Hong Kong. Morning to you, Damien.
Yeah, morning, Andrew.
Looking forward to another challenge on the superstar buffering.
Yeah, certainly are. It's only a couple of days away now and big showdown with him in Chautauqua, so it'll be a great race.
You would have seen, spoken to Rob Heathcote, I guess, but seen some of buffering's work. He just seems to be in a perfect place at the moment after Dubai.
He does, and that's probably what's expected of him. He's just such an old campaigner and a great traveller, so it's great to see he's settled in. He looks fantastic.
Barrier draws, you would have kept an eye on it. Rob Heathcote didn't have any choice, but he came up with a perfect draw, didn't he, Barrier 3?
Yeah, really happy with that. Most of the speed's obviously outside us, so hopefully it'll give us a couple of options, and couldn't be happier.
That's the key, I guess, just how much pressure is on up there. You've ridden in Hong Kong, and you know sort of that the pace can be generally on in these sort of races?
Yeah, they will obviously go fairly quick, and you'd expect that of this class of galloper, but you know, he will certainly be up there eyeballing them, and we'll take it from there.
Well, he seemed to do it so comfortably within himself in Dubai.
He didn't. That was probably the surprising thing. It was my concern leading into the race at Dubai, is they might have been a bit sharp for him early, but he was able to muster speed quickly and be right on top of them quite early in the race. And if he's able to do that again on Sunday, that'll play right into his hands.
I guess Satak was the one to beat, but Steve Moran, racing journalist, was on our show yesterday, Damien. He threw up that there's not many horses in these distance races, like 1200 at Hong Kong, that can actually come from where Chautauqua did, say, in Sydney?
No, it's probably a fair call, and, you know, it's probably the one thing in our favour. I mean, there's no doubting Chautauqua's a champion horse, and he's probably the world's best sprinter, but he's going to probably need a little bit of luck, and they haven't been making much ground in the sprints there of late. So hopefully that's a tick in our favour.
Yeah, exactly. Mate, I know you've got aboard that plane. Safe travels. I hope there's a big reason to celebrate, mate, with buffering again on Sunday. That race at 5:30 our time. Good luck with it.
Thanks very much, Andrew.
Damien Brown about to board a plane for Hong Kong. Tommy Berry, well, he's... he's an international jockey that he just travels around the place. He's either in Hong Kong or right now in Japan. Morning to you, Tommy.
How are you, Andrew?
Well, the life of an international travelling jockey. How is it, mate?
it's a little bit tiring. As you said, I was in Hong Kong all week and just flew back to Japan last night. Got back just now. I've only just walked in the door, and I'll ride in Japan tomorrow and then back to Hong Kong on Sunday. So it's quite a busy week.
Righto, well, how's the week been in Hong Kong? Obviously, the talk about Chautauqua's been pretty strong here, and you would have seen the draw yesterday, Barrier 6 in this race.
Yeah, it was probably the easiest barrier draw I've ever gone to because it wasn't a big worry with him. It was a bit irrelevant. We know where he's going to be in the run. He's going to get back and there's going to be good speed and a decent, a bit of the speed's drawn in close to the rail in the middle and out wide. So there'll be a lot of pressure up front and he's had a pretty faultless week this week. His work's been excellent and John and Michael and Wayne have all been very pleased with the way he's settled into Hong Kong.
It was an interesting point made by leading racing journalist from here, Steve Moran, who's working for the Hong Kong Jockey Club, that there's not many horses in these sprint races that can actually come from last. I guess the key is that this horse, Chautauqua, doesn't have to be back there.
No, he doesn't. If he can settle closer, he will. And there's every chance he might not be able to with the speed in the race. But we're not going to, I know the racing quite well in Hong Kong and I'm very aware of the sprint races and not being able to make up a heap of ground. But, we can't let that change the way we ride the horse. He's a back marker and that's the way he'll be ridden. And we don't want to get him out of his comfort zone because it's not the way we're going to get him to win a race. He wins his races by spending no energy at the start of his race and delivering that killer blow at the end. And, I know not many horses have come from behind, but a lot of the decent sprinters in Hong Kong are always up on the pace. So it's not like we've seen a good sprinter for a long time since probably Lucky Nine that gets back and rattles home.
Exactly. John Hawke said something, it was fantastic quote earlier in the week about Chautauqua, saying that when the horse really gets going, gets down like a Ferrari. Does he give you the feel of a Ferrari?
I don't know. John's probably driven a few of them in his time. He's got more money than me, so I've never driven one. But I've ridden a few horses that are like him. And it was interesting, actually. I said to John, I watched his work on Tuesday morning, I think it was, or Wednesday morning, and as he said, he really got down and stretched out well. And it's not too often I get to see that. I'm usually on their back when they do it. So to watch him work was pretty special for me, and it was good to see what a good horse looks like when it's galloping. And as I've said before, it's very hard for horses to settle into Hong Kong. It's a different environment. It gets quite humid and hot, and he's a horse who can get on his tail a little bit, but he settled in really well, everything, they've ticked all the boxes leading in the Sunday's race anyway.
Tommy, it's a very even Hong Kong group of sprinters, I think, at this stage, from what we've gleaned through the week, that there's no standout. But I guess the key move might be Joe Marrera. Like, he's dropped off Panophobia and another one, that he's riding this horse, the Wizard of Oz. What are you hearing about the Hong Kong sprinters?
Yeah, look, I think Panophobia, I think he's the one to beat. He's on pace. He's tough. He'll be there at the end. He's got a great record on the track. Obviously, Zach's horse, he's going very well, but he's had a few little hiccups along the way. So that sort of dampens his chances, and he's drawn out in 14 as well. But I think it's Lucky Bubbles, the name of the horse that Brett Preble's riding. He's drawn in close. He's got a great record at the moment. He's a young star on the rise. And obviously Buffering is going to be up there on the pace and be proved very hard to beat. But I haven't really got the Wizard of Oz in my numbers. He's a young horse. He's a bit the same. He's on the way up. But he sort of, he looked to me like he's better suited sort of at the 1400, let alone the sprints. But he's had a freshen up. He's trained by a freak in John Size and he'll be there and be very hard to beat on the day. But I like these more seasoned sprinters at the moment, like Panophobia and Buffering. They look the ones that are, I think, going to make it harder for us to run down late.
The Chairman's Sprint Prize, it's 5:30 our time on Sunday afternoon, and then the following race, we've got the Champions Mile. Bow Creek's there for Godolphin. You're riding a horse called Rewarding Hero in the race as well, drawn 7. We wish you the best. Safe travels, mate, with all of it. Japan, I hope there's a few winners on Saturday before Sunday. Good luck right over the weekend.
Cheers. Thanks so much, Andrew. Take care.
Good on you, Tommy. Tommy Berry joining us there from Japan. News through from New Zealand, the stallion Tavistock, who has had a tremendous run, particularly Werther in Hong Kong. He's going to stand at 65,000 in his seventh breeding season at Cambridge Stud, the property of Sir Patrick Hogan, later in the year. To tell us just how successful he's been, he's just 2 years ago, Tavistock stood at 7,000 right now, this season coming up. 65,000.